from the Woods Around Lake, June 16th, 2014, regular board meeting.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. I'd like to call the regular Village of Round Lake board meeting to order at 7:03 p.m. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Clemens.
Present.
Trustee Fry.
Present.
Trustee Muni.
Present.
Trustee Sanzelli.
Present.
Trustee Trupan.
Present.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Present.
Trustee Newby, would you lead us in the pledge?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dan. Make it a motion for item 3.1 to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of June 2, 2014.
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Fry. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting carries. Item 4.1, proclamation recognizing Trustee Clemens for his service. I'm reluctant to read this because we don't want you to go there.
I think we'll stay.
All in favor?
Like a railroad.
This is a railroad. For the Village of Round Lake, proclamation recognizing Trustee Greg Clemens for his service to the Village of Round Lake, whereas Greg Clemens served dutifully as a member of the Board of Trustees since 2011 and has served as liaison for Public Works, Facilities, Capital Assets, and Engineering, along with Human Resource and Finance and Community Development. And whereas Greg Clemens was dedicated to a clear understanding of the village budget and developed communication to provide transparency of the fiscal condition of the Village of Round Lake. And whereas Greg Clemens and his devotion to family, faith, and community has provided the Village of Round Lake to successfully participate in National Prayer Day since 2013. Now, therefore, the President and the Board of Trustees of the Village of Round Lake, speaking on the behalf of our citizens, do hereby tender this proclamation, extending our deep appreciation to Mr. Greg Clemens' distinguished service to the Village of Round Lake. We wish you success in all your future endeavors. May Godspeed forever be with you. Approved the 16th day of June, 2014. Thank you for your services, Greg.
Thank you very much.
Is this any place else on there?
I have some things to say too, but I'll say them during the...
I'm not finished with you yet. Something I read last week, Greg, about announcing that you are going to be resigning, and how much we all are feeling that. Your dedication and thoughtfulness will be missed. Your professional career in the private sector has provided great insight to the business workings of the public arena. Your conservative approach and your fiscal responsibility and guidance will be missed. Your dedication to the budget, CFP, and finance departments must be recognized. Your efforts to have Round Lake recognized and take part in National Prayer Day has been a success, and you will always be remembered for that. Selfless endeavor are what makes great public servants, and you, sir, are indeed a great one. I will pray for you and your family's future that all will be well. Thank you for your time, Greg. And we also have a plaque on behalf of the citizens of the Village of Round Lake, our sincere appreciation for the hard work and dedication you have provided during your 10 years as a Round Lake Village trustee from May 2011 through June 2014.
Greg, thank you, Greg.
Don, what was your motion? Under accommodations, item 4.2, Squaw Creek floodplain presentation. Kurt?
Good evening, Paul, trustees and mayor. We have a little bit of a software issue before the meeting. I've got to reinstall my flash drive, but I can talk while it's working.
Boy, there's an engineering joke there just waiting to be told.
Didn't say it would be entertaining. I did bring some handouts. I've been told to keep this very brief, so. Basically, the goal tonight is to give you a little bit of a background on the National Flood Insurance Program. Maybe you're up to speed on the big picture concepts. I'll get into a little bit of detail, say where we're at now, where we've been in the recent past, who this might affect, and what we can do, plan of action, I think.
If it's worth right.
So, Sorry, folks.
Don't bash him away.
Watch out of here.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, don't get too upset.
Okay, so the village is a member of the NFIP, National Flood Insurance Program. The National Flood Insurance Program was established back in the 60s. What happened, a number of natural disasters, a number of floods, et cetera, caused Congress to spend a lot of money to rescue folks that had been damaged. They got their heads together, so there's got to be a better way to do this. Prior to establishment of the National Flood Insurance Program, the only way people could get flood insurance was through private insurance carriers. There were no flood maps. They didn't know how high the water got. They didn't know how wide it went. So to try and assess that actuarially and establish premium rates for individual homeowners, you know, because Joe may want it and his next door neighbor Bob did, and if there wasn't a study that said how bad it could be under the 100-year, you know, the risk on that was really difficult to assess. So with that establishment of the NFIP, they established the concept of kind of a national pool for folks that were in the floodplain to spread that risk. And they also, so that was what incentivized the government-backed insurance program, and that's where you get your flood insurance now. Private underwriters, State Farm, Nationwide, they can sell it, but it's the government that underwrites it, it's the taxpayers. And the idea there was to get into the proactive side of things with insurance rather than trying to treat post-disaster expenses. So Raleigh joined that program in 1974 primarily because the tools were there at that time. The first maps were rolled out, and I don't know if you can see that. That is a very crude map, but that's what we were using 30 years ago, to try and determine who was in a floodplain. So when the village joined the NFIP, that meant that property owners were eligible to participate and get insurance from the federal government. Conversely, if for some reason the action of our own, we are kicked out of the NFIP, property owners would not be able to buy insurance. So it's kind of important we stay in that with squash people on in a running account. As a member of the NFIP, you've also committed to, and I kind of alluded to it, promising to enforce development standards. We've got to keep people from building in the floodplain, basically. So we've got to manage the program so we're not creating new risk. I don't know why that slide moved over, but the first map came out in March of, 74, I think it is. So if you kind of remember that map, I'm going to go through a progression here. You've got, basically the village boundary, and now we're going to something that was produced in 1997, the penalty frog there. It's still a black and white map, but obviously much greater detail as far as floodplains go. Developments in the last 30 years, obviously our computational power is growing exponentially. Our knowledge of terrain, if you think about the contour data that's out there, we have been using 10-foot contour USGS maps to try and pin down a floodplain, and that was real guesswork. Improved analytical methods. Obviously, the longer we go, the more record we have of rainfall. And rainfall is a direct input to floods. Obviously, the greater rain you get, the more water's going to have to go down the creek eventually. So, as the NFIP aged, we had more records to look back on and say, well, boy, statistically, for instance, back in 74 maps, I think 100-year, 24-hour storm, just to use a number, was 5.6 inches. As we got more data, we realized by the late 80s that it was 6.5 inches. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. So all of a sudden we realized initially we were under-guessing our rainfall by, 20%. Moving on to the maps that we just adopted. You'll notice the big difference here is that the base is an area of the top instead of aerial photograph. So we now have the resolution from aerial photography to be able to superimpose that map. So superimpose those floodplain limits and floodway limits so that it's easier for folks, for insurance companies, for mortgage companies, for homeowners to say, okay, which side of that? And it doesn't come out real good here with the colors, but you've got a riparian corridor, a floodplain floodway coming down. So am I on the floodplain or am I in the fringe? The teacher would make an assessment in your photograph like that. And again, this is the one that's just adopted last year that we are now using for building permits, et cetera, on the ramp downstairs. Aerial data collection, real quick, we're now using what they call LIDAR, light something detection and ranging, where the flyover can result in elevation differences. Elevation differences that you note on the ground. So when you're flooded at 650, you can superimpose that 650 across there and know how wide it is. I want to talk briefly about the differences between floodplain and floodway. I alluded to the development regulations that we've promised to hold dear and abide by. To, again, reduce the pool of risk, reduce the amount of risk, and make sure folks are safe when they're building. I talked about the floodplain. If you think of the area that's wet in a flood, that's the floodplain. The floodway, if you're familiar with that term, is kind of the central portion of that. It's where it's what's considered the actual active moving water. There are ways that developers can build in the floodplain fringe, okay? Think of it as a bathtub. If you're putting some dirt in to be able to build a house, you've got to dig some out somewhere else. Otherwise, you'd be pushing all that water downstream. You don't want to do that. So floodplain development, we've done a lot of Valley Lakes responsibly. As we take a look at those maps now, the new maps, you'll see that most of those lots, almost all, are out of the floodplain. Based on the tools we had at the time, which were the earlier maps. So some of the development regulations we talk about, it differs from residential versus commercial. Residential recognizes that there are more lives at risk, I'm going to say, in a residential condition because during flooding situations, that's you know, it can happen overnight, it can happen during the day. Businesses typically evacuate. I mean, you know, traditionally, businesses were empty after 5 and before 7 or 8 o'clock. So overnight, they were empty. There were ways to get in and out, as opposed to homes where people, I mean, that's where they go for refuge. So for commercial, we're allowed to floodproof, for instance, which on new construction homes, you're not allowed. Amendments versus revision. So if we fill in the fringe here, if a developer comes in and says, I want to build on this portion here, but I'm going to dig that out over there, and we'll make it all work, and you can prove that it works. You would have to go get a revision to this map. And what's commonly done is called a letter of map revision versus an amendment, which is the maps being not quite accurate. Again, I talked about the elevations from an airplane flying over. You can imagine that there's some looseness in that information here. People can incidentally be included in the floodplain, and there's ways to get people out. And that's relatively inexpensive. There's no charge to that if somebody knows their house is up. So, and I talked about the toy storage. So the process, again, we're moving toward this next stage, the squat creek that I mentioned earlier. So the process, going through a federal map change, as with most federal processes, very cumbersome. So the draft maps come out, and this happened with the 2013 maps that you were just looking at there, the example. The draft maps come out, there's an open house, and this is publicized. There's a comment period, there's an appeals period. The comment period is maybe 90 days, 120, depending on how many comments they get, how many folks say, hey, what about this? The public notice, FEMA does put it in the newspapers, but it's, you know, way in the back, and it's classified under public notices, and I don't know when the last time anybody here read about this. It's been a while since I did. So the communication, while FEMA has a process, there are some things that the village can do to build on that. I want to talk real briefly here about how people find out that, hey, the mass has changed. We've gotten a lot of calls, Mark has, from folks that say, hey, my mortgage company told me I need flood insurance. Again, you know, the last half dozen, 8-10 years of development, we think we've done a pretty responsive job keeping builders from putting houses where people's lives and valuables are at risk. FEMA comes along and says, oh, we've got better data, you know, now the floodplain's here, and it's this wide, it's this deep. They don't have the sort of detailed information that we do. We have engineering plans to a much greater detail, and we can, you know, thanks to the map, but, you know, these folks are still out. And there's a process to get them out of it as well. So, what typically happens, like I said, a mortgage company, if you're refinancing, if you didn't know the mass change, and all of a sudden that shaded area is now under lock, you go to refinance, your mortgage company's going to find that out. The federal government has gotten much more particular about requiring mortgage companies to do that diligence prior to establishing a mortgage, particularly with the economy that's been through in the last 5-6 years, the downturn of the housing market. Because any federally backed mortgage, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, any federally backed mortgage that is the property lies in the floodplain, that the owner has to carry flood insurance. Mortgage companies will get in a lot of trouble if they're not enforcing it. Other way people find out is if, you know, maybe a property is fully paid off, no mortgage, person owns the land outright, he goes to sell. Well, the buyer may well need a mortgage. All of a sudden, you find out, I can't sell the house because it's or reduced value because the new owner is going to have to carry flood insurance. So many thousands of dollars annual premiums. The other way that people typically find out is if a mortgage company that had issued a mortgage, you know, 5-10 years ago, is reviewing their accounts and says, wait, we missed this, you know, and those have happened. And this is in contrast to those folks that read the public notice, Trustee Nubius, you know, when we're doing that communication, that outreach. Well, I think that's 5 minutes on that. Fast forward to the Squaw Creek Reef study. This study has been in development for 24 years. 98. SMC started it, and they felt they needed to update that study. I've got some comparisons here. Obviously, I've been working on it diligently since then. It was not even off again. They've finally come through all of the reviews by FEMA, by the state, and they're ready to get it implemented, and that's why we're revisiting these flood maps again. So on the next slide, and this one may take a little bit of a load, I've got a comparison for you of the new maps versus the current maps, and maybe you can see that in your handout, I'll load it. The map on the left, here we go, the map on the left is the new map we just adopted September last year. Again, air photography, and this is just south of here's Lincoln, okay, Park Avenue, and Squaw Creek comes up in the south, turns and flows southwesterly there. You can see this diagonally hatched area, that's that floodway we talked about earlier, the dotted area out in the fringe, that's the floodplain. So that's what we're currently using as a regulatory tool. This, by contrast, and I try to make them the same scale, so you may not be able to see a lot here, but you can see that the floodplain here is a lot wider, and the floodways are a lot wider on that. The issue here goes back to the rainfall I mentioned earlier. All of a sudden, our rainfall is 20% higher that we're plugging into the hydraulic programs instead of 5.5 inches of rainfall in a 24-hour period. Now we're doing 6.5. So flood stage is coming up, the flood plain is coming up, and it's getting wider. Again, bats are taking on a little bit different look. It's colored over here, but still the diagonal cast area is your floodway. Floodway is definitely harder to develop. If you think about trying to build something in the middle of a stream, You can't offset with compensation with storage because you're going to be blocking flows. So you can develop in floodways by doing certain things, but it's very difficult. You have to meet very high standards. So back to your question, as far as what is the village cost going to be? One of the things we did in 2013 with the new maps, when FEMA came out and said, okay, here's the new map, we actually, on behalf of several subdivisions, appealed to FEMA and said, hey, wait a minute, these 25 residents here in Lakewood Grove are not in floodplain. We need to reissue those letters of map revision that I talked about earlier. There was also subdivision of Valley Lakes where FEMA was saying, hey, these maps are good, now we're going to throw out all these other low marks, letters of map revision, letters of map amendment. They're no good, you know, because we got these brand new maps, so we could, wait a minute, your maps are nice, but we've got better detail here. So that we were able to do relatively cheaply. I don't know the exact cost, but definitely under $5,000. Write a few letters, get some plans, pull in some subdivision plats, send them to FEMA, back and forth a little bit. So for the two of those subdivisions, definitely under $5,000. As opposed to individual homeowners going to FEMA and saying, okay, my house is high, how do I get out? And then they have to go hire a surveyor, and they have to have paperwork done to revalidate those letters of map revision. Individually, it would cost homeowners a lot, but when the village can go and do this proactively, you kind of need the scale kick in, and if we have the right information at our fingertips, we can go ahead and get that for them.
Kirk, do you recall how many residences the new map actually touches their property and how many businesses, residences, the new maps would affect?
We've done a preliminary analysis with GIS, comparing GIS data. We identified close to 140 parcels, let me use a generic term, 140 parcels where this floodplain is increasing on people's property. Many of those are owned either by a park district, by a forest preserve, by a homeowners association, common area. Shoot, that's where we want it to flood. You know, that's the way these developers built, so it would be a mill. So less than half of those, I want to say 50, 60 max, appear to be from tax records, private property that may be a residence or a business. You know, if we say 60 top end that are potentially impacted by this, those are the numbers you're looking at. Now, I don't know that there are a whole lot of new properties. We talked about that. I don't know how many new properties there are that are pulled in. So in other words, if you've got an acre and that floodplain is already on your property, technically you should know about it. If that floodplain is getting bigger, as opposed to going out to a new property, there's a little bit different level of familiarity with homeowners, with business owners, property owners.
So the numbers you're providing are total, not necessarily incremental.
Correct. But 140 is the total number of properties with floodplain high.
Okay. So we don't know how many we had before?
No.
Okay.
We did not do that analysis. Oh, wait a minute, we did. We did, didn't we? Because we were looking at the increase.
I don't recall. I don't recall.
What we looked at, particularly focusing on, again, because we felt property owners that have floodplain on their lot should have been through this recently, so we wanted to make sure, maybe special effort in communication to folks that are new in the floodplain,
right.
And that was a handful, less than a handful. So that
I remember it was a small number.
Very small number, yes. And again, that's a GIS analysis as opposed to going through the data reviewing it, because I didn't want to spend a lot of time looking at that information. But what we've talked about now is maybe a HOA summit going in with some brief information about what's going on, how this can affect people, and what they can do about it. the village resources. If we have foundation surveys on file for many of these newer homes, those can be provided. If we have this prior list of map revisions, we can perhaps get those revalidated. It works as long as, in fact, those folks are not public. We talked about Squaw Creek, that area near Lincoln. The flood profile is actually going up 1.5 to 2 feet there. So even though there was a letter of map revision made before, it doesn't mean it's valid now if they happen to be in that 1.5 foot area. So anyway, I apologize for running along. Tried to hurry through stuff.
You can actually pull it up on the county Illinois.gov website. I actually have up the GIS right now for around 19.
There you go.
With this also, I mean, with the flood insurance, there's different classifications of flood level. So, I mean, somebody who's literally just entering where they might get like a couple extra inches on their property versus somebody whose basement's going to be completely submerged. I mean, there's different classifications. I would definitely like to see that, you know, those that are increasing classifications actually are being notified. I think that's a great thing to know because, I mean, you may have it currently only hitting, you know, within maybe 10 feet of your basement, but now with this new revision, if we're increasing twice, that could put them at their basement because they go, well, I have flood insurance. They don't think about, oh, you know, now I need to actually pay closer attention to make sure I can get prepared. Just from the business standpoint, I know we've had people who have had, yes, I have flood insurance on cover, but they would know, oh, it just looks like my porch. Just looks like my porch. It's not a big deal. Well, 1 year we have a big storm, and guess what? If it completely submerges their whole basement, and they only have partial coverage because they're only interested in going to this month, so they're interested to use the lifetime coverage you want with flood insurance. So if you're made aware that you've increased your classification of severity, that would encourage people to be more prepared and store sand bags within their storage sheds because they have at least the first sign of defense until they can go and get more assistance to help protect their...
If I remember correctly, looking at those maps, I don't think the new maps put any foundations in the floodplain. None of that changed. They have touched a couple of properties, but didn't touch any foundations, if I recall correctly.
Could be.
And there is a very small amount we're talking about contacting those individuals to let them know that the property is
Absolutely. Closed. That would be perfect. I mean, even if it's a small amount. Your regular home insurance does not cover flood. I mean, so if there's a chance of it, even if there, if you have your sewer backup at the same time as your flood, guess what rules? The flood. And if you don't have flood insurance, you're done. So they don't interchange the two of them. So I mean, that can be very costly to homeowners, and that's where a lot of people get very aggravated when they go and find out, but I have this coverage. You have that coverage, but it was ultimately responsible due to this.
A couple of key points, yes. I wanted to mention, thank you. Flood insurance does not insure the property. It insures the structure. Mm-hmm. So just by virtue of your backyard being in a floodplain, your mortgage company is going to say, you know, you're in. And you say, no, my house is out. You have to prove it. But then you don't have to buy flood insurance. It insures the house and or structure. And several different levels of risk, yes. We're fortunate. Most of these are defined. Previously, we have been using approximate floodplains, so it was a bit of a guess, you know. We narrowed it down. What's the third thing?
By having proactively contact people, that's huge to homeowners. I mean, we're talking thousands of dollars in annual premium for a possibility in addition to the regular homeowner's insurance. I mean, that's huge. And if we're able to identify and say right off the bat, the end of the property touches, but the chance of it actually hitting the house is in your actuarial rate is slim to none. By them doing that, that saves the homeowner instantly because most of them don't know where to go. And their insurance company is going to tell them to contact the surveyor. They're not going to tell them to contact your village. They're going to say, contact the surveyor. You're going to have to get me this, this, and this documentation. So by us having it already prepared, it's we're an awesome community.
And we can put this together. We talked about it at staff meetings. We'll put together what we need to put into a document to get it to those homeowners to make them aware that FEMA has come up with new maps that's doing a good job of protecting the insurance companies, but unfortunately, we're the ones left to protect our residents. And it always falls on the resident side. So we'll move forward with that.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're identified as being a potential risk, and we're saying they're not really at that big risk, they can still opt in to take the flood insurance anyways at the lower classification. Just about anybody can buy flood insurance. It doesn't matter what classification, if you're not in the floodplain, you're going to be at the lowest cost option because you're not within the higher risk. So, I mean, that is also an availability out there that you can be able to get the flood insurance.
Right.
If they don't trust our opinion or our things, they want to be like, no, they're saying I'm in it, so I need to be protected. They can get, at least get a lower classification.
And insurance is a risk management tool, absolutely.
And we're not going to be giving our residents information on what type of risk they should be carrying.
That's their own personal decision,
absolutely. But what we want to do is provide the best information so they know what the risk is, and they can purchase the flood insurance if they want or not. So
yes.
That's so we're giving info, not an answer.
Not advice.
The information we're able to provide if they can get to take it to the next step.
And Trustee Nubia, I almost forgot. To your question earlier about cost, the Squaw Creek flood restudy.
Free.
We're
providing free.
Fair enough. The flood insurance study that SMC has put together is voluminous. If the village was interested, and I haven't gotten into detail, we could actually dissect that thing some and say, okay, are there any holes in this? How accurate is it? What assumptions did they make? What assumptions do we think are valid? What do we think are invalid? We talked to staff about the possibility of doing that. There would be costs involved, and we could certainly quantify that. That would be challenging, basically, the details behind the study more than just working with the maps about where that floodplain is. We'd actually be trying to influence the elevation of that floodplain. And that can get costly, $10,000-$20,000, or more. So I'm certainly not promoting that at this point, but, if that was something that the village wanted to start digging into, there could be some substantial costs.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you. Well, sorry, I ran over.
You're 5 minutes to say.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate that alone.
You're taking questions from Ron.
Moving on. Item 4.3, any public comments this evening? Thank you all for attending. May I get a motion for the consent agenda, items 5.1 through 5.10 as follows. 5.1, approve accounts payable in the amount of $612,483.42. 5.2, approve payroll for the period ending June 1, 2014, the amount of $127,502.36. Item 5.3, adopt an ordinance adopting prevailing wage rates to be paid to laborers, mechanics, and other workers performing construction of public works for the village of Round Lake. Item 5.4, adopt a resolution authorizing the purchase of one building department Ford F-150 truck in an amount not to exceed $17,896 from Wright Automotive. Item 5.5, adopt a resolution authorizing the purchase of four in-car video systems for police vehicles in the amount not to exceed $11,860 from Digital Ally. 5.6, adopt a resolution authorizing the purchase of six Tasers X26P devices, necessary peripheral hardware, and the Taser Assurance Plan in the amount not to exceed $14,758 from Taser International. Item 5.7, adopt a resolution authorizing the purchase of three police vehicles in the amount not to exceed $73,452 from Curry Motors. Item 5.8, adopt a resolution authorizing the enrollment of Police Commander Troy Akey in the Northwestern University's Police Staff and Command School in an amount not to exceed $4,100. Item 5.9, adopt a resolution authorizing the enrollment of Police Sergeant Nicole Cheney and David Pruss in the Northwestern University Supervision of Police Personnel Management Training not to exceed $2,150. And item 5.10, adopt a resolution approving an employee recognition program.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Simoncelli. Any discussion? Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Fry.
Aye.
Trustee Newby.
Aye.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Aye.
Trustee Turpin.
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Aye.
Trustee Clemens.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 6.1, Friday, July 4, 2014. Madam Clerk.
Friday, July 4th, the village will be closed for the holidays. And I just want to say, I have my little section. Greg, it's been an honor to work with you.
Well, thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Item 7.1, adopt an ordinance authorizing an intergovernmental agreement for the purpose of creating the Round Lake Management Commission.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Tripod, seconded by Trustee Fry. Any discussion?
Yes. Are the changes made that are recommended? Yes.
And as for that, I pronounce that I received the attorney changes from Ross Craven. There was a return, little changes around, and that you have in front of you are two previous changes. All other districts have also received those changes. They will be improving the same thing.
So it's not our, so it's an idea that on our part.
Thank you, Doc. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.1, approve a payment to Granger in the amount of $44.69.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Tripod, seconded by Trustee Simoncelli. Any discussion? And roll call.
Trustee Newby.
Aye.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Aye.
Trustee Tripod.
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Aye.
Trustee Clemens.
Abstain.
Trustee Fry.
Aye. Motion carries. Anything from the Police Department Chief? Thank you. Public Works. Thank you, Ron. Community Development, Building and Zoning, Special Events, Vicki? I didn't pass you by.
John Wilson. Reminder from Closer to Life Rate, which I think we're discussing in the next one. We did have a meeting tonight for the Hometown Fest. Accomplished a few things, but two more to go. Again, next first Monday in July, 6 p.m. will be our next meeting.
Thank you. Item 14.1, Mayor's comments. I already said with Trustee Clements, Greg, you'll be missed. Enjoyed working with you and been my honor to have been able to meet you and your family. One other comment that I want to make on there that's come up since the last meeting. We didn't actually put a slot in here, but Russ is here this evening, and as you know, Russ tendered his resignation and is still here at a beck and call if we need any advice. And I just personally want to thank Russ for the leadership that he's provided in this last year, acting as our consulting administrator, the guidance that he's given me personally in the role of my first efforts of being mayor, the things that he has put in motion to make our village, our management team, our employees a better place to be. Round Lake Village Hall operates better. People enjoy coming to work. The effects that Russ has put in motion has been felt throughout the community in this one year. And personally, Russ, I want to thank you. And I hope you do well in your future endeavors. Thank you for your service. Item 14.2. Trustees' comments. Stop.
Well, I just to manage to allow them as well to the campaign come out for the new businesses in front of the town and just see the work of people coming to the village, how easy it is to deal with the village with a lot of delivery numbers.
In the office and administration that have great hearts
that want to do the right thing. And I think that that's what makes the difference. That's what distinguishes, I think, our village from any other village in the area. And I don't know them all, and I don't need to smirch anybody else's reputation, but I'm just working with this group. I know that it's, the park, and it's, the village is in good hands. So I also want to thank, individuals. I have to thank Sue and Keith, for, if you don't know the story or the reason I even became a candidate, walking around as a precinct committeeman and all of a sudden getting chased down by a guy in a sock. Hey, did you just come by my house? And I didn't know whether that was going to turn out well or poorly. I didn't know if I was going to be getting in a fight or having a good conversation. Well, it turned out to be a great conversation and invited me to a meeting where I met Don, and they convinced me to run, and it's been quite an adventure from there. So, and I want to thank you, Sue, for always, setting such a high standard for personal behavior and reminding me always the proper role of faith and, has in the life of a public servant. Don, senior trustee, obviously, I want to thank you for all the support you provided and for providing great counsel. So Don, he's the voice of the people, and he's always been, staunchly in camp of residents and making sure, he has high standards as well. Sets the bar for dedication to the job, I think. And reminded me how hard that is, really. It does take a lot of effort, a lot more effort than I ever really appreciated. So thank you, Don. I want to thank Don and Vicki for being great running mates and great partners in this municipal adventure that we've been on. And we've all, I think, learned a lot together. And thank you very much for that. I want to thank our newest trustee, Henry, for taking on the role of trustee and diving into the financials and not being afraid of that. It can be a rather daunting task, despite all the great work by Steve, to make it not complicated. But as I gained an appreciation for, it is complicated. Financing and running a village is complicated, and I have a lot more appreciation for it than I did before. And again, since I'm talking about Steve, I want to thank you very much for patiently teaching me the ins and outs of municipal government. Steve and I didn't always agree philosophically, but we always managed to come to an agreement and do what's right, try to do what's right for the village. I take, what Steve has done, he takes the role of financial steward for the village very seriously, and that bodes well for the village. He's always working to try to make the finances for our village more organized, more logical, and more transparent. And Steve, you've done a great job. Just in the short time I've been here, and I know you have big ideas that'll make it even better. I want to thank the chief for helping make our village safe to live in, one of the safest communities in the area. We were recently awarded, which is awesome. And I think one of the great things that he brings to this village is your efforts to make the police department, approachable, friendly, professional, and approachable. And I think your efforts with the National Night Out coming up have gone a long way, and I think you've done a great job with our staff. And I want to thank you for all the support that you've provided me in our discussions. And Russ, I want to also thank you for helping us really As a village, we were not catering to businesses, we were not supporting businesses, and when you and Dan came on, we had a lot of work to do, and I want to thank you for all that, and thank you for helping Dan get his mayoral legs under him. So that's a big job. And I want to thank Ron, again, for your dedication to the village. I know you live, eat, and breathe this place. And landed in a rather tough position when you joined. And based on all our infrastructure and large projects we still have to go, you're kind of still in a tough position. Still don't have all of the resources we need to get everything done, but you've done a really great job, and I appreciate all you did for teaching me about infrastructure and how complicated it is. This village has so much to it that I didn't really appreciate before. And I want to thank Kurt for your dedication and service to the village as well. Just make a minor recommendation that you stop taking presentation pointers from Ron. Anyway. Sorry. I want to thank Mike and Eric. Mike's not here, but he always provided great advice and kept me in line and making great in-the-moment suggestions, like you might want to try a call to order right about now, is one. And my personal favorite is an omnibus motion is always in order. Making me laugh when I was supposed to be paying attention, looking serious, trying to crack me up, so that's great. And I want to thank you, Dan. I think, you're a refreshing type of mayor, and you're supportive of new and different approaches, determined to leave the village in a better place than it was when you joined, and I think you're already, your desires to make the village better are already paying off. And I think the village will thrive under your leadership. I really do. I think it'll be great. Again, I think the whole staff is good. And I want to thank everybody else here. I want to thank all the people that voted for us and made this possible. I've learned a ton. And I'll take those learnings with me, hopefully to the benefit of a small little town in Tennessee called Hartsville. Next to Peggy's chagrin. But I've enjoyed working for you. I've enjoyed working with you. And I will truly miss you all. Thank you.
Around Lake is trying to become business friendly again. Somebody that businesses want to work with versus run from. But I mean, that's just fabulous, and we truly appreciate all that. And I just wish you all. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Fred, yes, no. It's been truly an honor, a privilege to work with you and to share the seat right next to you. Although I didn't have your seat, but I guess, concession tech you made, teammates, you gotta compromise a little. It's truly been an honor to be, here with you, to be part of your family, experience things with you guys. Thank you for the grandson, your lovely wife, and Andy. You have a fabulous family. I'm truly going to miss you guys. And I don't want to have these last minute things. I literally go, right, I'm losing it. It's not making sense. The thing goes dodge and reversing it. And you guys know me. I cast my moment more often than that. Right, it's time to be that all the time.
I'll be downloading.
Even I'm walking tonight. What do you mean, come on? You can always speak in mind, you've got to do something with it. With this also, we haven't been that really. I mean, I've just got a big ditto to everything everybody else has said. I mean, it's just, I'm not gracious words. I trip over my tongue all the time. But I would like to recommend Patty, for whenever we're doing we're putting our consent agenda now, we can remove Granger from being a separate item. We can go ahead and remove it back to be a separate agenda.
There you go.
That'd be great.
You might be first on what's in Granger to be
discussed. Well, and if that happens, we have some people making sessions for the day. So we can have maybe take a couple extra minutes off of our meeting.
Especially on game night.
I'm sticky in my butt. You
might
want to
like it. I'll
take it. That was
not for all of us. I'll take it.
Thank you. All right, well, I think you guys have covered it all. There's not too much more to say. Again, thank you, Greg. Russ, thank you for all that you've done. Best of wishes down in the warm climate.
Thank you.
Feel free to call us when it's 70 in February and we're at 20.
Hello.
And you can say, ha, 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 hang up. But yes, good luck with everything. Anything with you, Russ, and best of wishes for both and all that comes your way.
Thank you.
And you did fine, right?
I'd like to thank everybody for your comments.
Did you get all that hat?
If I may get a heartfelt motion for adjournment.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Trippon, seconded by Trustee Clements. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned at 8:04 p.m.
Okay,
this is